We pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Approaching the 50th anniversary year of the CLC, and especially with this gathering of CLC members, we have a very good venue to talk about what our church body means to us. What exactly holds us together? Most of you come from different CLC congregations. You come here as the CLC-sponsored high school or college or seminary. The CLC has maintained ILC as its way to train your future pastors and teachers. The existence of our church body, however, has not been just a matter of convenience, simply for the sake of human organization. No. God has formed it and has given it to us in fulfillment of what He wants for His people, what He tells us in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Let's go about this a different way. Imagine yourself having a religious conversation with someone who is not Lutheran. And you tell this person you are a Lutheran. Chances are you'll have to say more, much more. What if that person, in his limited knowledge, instantly thinks of the big liberal Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA, which has gone on record to say that the Bible is not verbally inspired, and that Jesus did not rise from the dead, literally. You would not want to be falsely associated, misunderstood that way. So by all means, get more specific. We could identify ourselves as conservative Lutherans, or confessional Lutherans. Do you know what that means? Confessional Lutheranism? It means that we hold completely to what the Lutheran confessions teach. Everything there in the Catechism and the Book of Concord as the truth from God. Back to your friend who's not Lutheran, you'll probably have to identify yourself a little bit differently for that person and say that you are the kind of Lutheran Christian who holds completely to what the Bible says. Nothing added, nothing taken away, nothing changed. We depend on God's Word and only God's Word to show us all of the truth revealed from God. And then on the basis of that Word, we take a stand for the truth, which will at times mean taking a stand against any error that would contradict that truth. That is what God requires of us for the sake of protecting us, keeping you and me safe from the poisons out there, the poisoners, the false teachers. The existence of false teaching has been the reason for our existence. It has compelled us to have our own fellowship based solely on the truth, to have our own church body separate and distinct from other church bodies which even bear the name Lutheran. Now, when you identify yourself as a CLC Lutheran, don't take that too far. It doesn't mean that we are the only ones going to heaven. We should not believe that. We do not teach that. In fact, we should realize the possibility for any CLC member, you and I included, to belong to the right kind of church, express full agreement to all the right teachings, and still not have saving faith in Christ. In other words, it is not your CLC membership that saves you. On the other hand, it is also possible for somebody to be involved with a false teaching church, to express agreement with certain false teachings in that church, and yet, by the grace of God, have saving faith in Christ. Now, that possibility does not mean we ignore doctrinal differences. It doesn't mean that we don't treat error as something to avoid. We still have God's command to test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Go back to 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10 as well. God expects this fellowship, all of you, me, our fellow members back home, to be completely agreed on every doctrine across the board. No error. 100% scriptural unity. Are these unrealistic, impossible expectations? We should never say that, not when God commands it and then gives us the help. The help is there from the Bible itself. It's your answer key of truth. We can use that Bible when it comes to doctrine because it speaks plainly on everything for us to teach and believe. We don't have to crack the secret code of Scripture or unlock some hidden meaning that befuddles us. Think of what the psalm writer says about Scripture. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Sunlight, in fact, which you don't need to make any brighter to see your way through this world. So also, Scripture shines brightly enough all on its own and can therefore communicate the truth from God to us. We believe that our church body has been orthodox so far. That is 50 years of teaching the truth and rejecting the error. But only because of what God has done in us and through us and has given to us. There will be no patting ourselves on the back at the 2010 convention. Now, what about the CLC's future orthodoxy? Will it be teaching only the truth when you are the parents and the grandparents? When CLC pastors, teachers, and leaders are from your generation? Or the next generation? Assuming that the world goes on that long, assuming a future orthodoxy among us 20, 30, 50 years from now, it will have to depend on the same grace of God at work, the same guidance and blessing of God that comes only through the same truth of His Word. The recipe will have to be the same, and the cook will have to be the same. Now, I want to finish with one more thought. We should really tie all of this back to the power and the integrity of the gospel. The gospel has become the very food for our faith. To protect that food from harmful contamination, the toxins of false teaching, God is being good to you when He leads you and me to be orthodox. He does that so that we use the uncontaminated gospel to do mission work in the right way. And use the uncontaminated gospel for Christian education here. For my children and your children one day. Because of what Jesus did and then gave from the cross through the gospel, we can expect God to stick with us and to mold us as gospel users, truth confessors, error rejectors. That is, faithful confessional, orthodox believers in Christ whose fellowship with each other will live on forever by His grace. To that end, help us, dear Heavenly Father. Amen. We close singing hymn 292, the first two stanzas of hymn 292.